This is the Pugcast, the weekly World of Warcraft podcast that, like that doomed pickup group, is bound to fail. Here are your hosts, Jake and Draken.
Hello and welcome to Pugcast number 5, starting off the second month of recording. My name is Jag, and I suck at PvP. We had a little challenge last week, me versus Draken. How you doing, Dre?
I'm doing fine, Jag. The chips were stacked against you, though. Not only were you a healer, but you were in a non-PvP healing spec, and as a damage dealer, I mean, I don't think anyone really had hopes of you winning, so there's not much you could say there.
The final score there was 4-1. I'm gonna try to have clips, either you just heard them or I'll have them later. Not really sure yet as of recording, the time of recording, but I think the one fight when you were naked and I was fully geared, I thought that was a pretty fair fight.
Did I even damage you though? I wasn't paying attention. I was just trying to survive as long as I could.
No, I think you did a couple of times, and I like 2 or 3. So it wasn't very big, and I just shielded through it.
That's fine.
I was so used to my life dying or draining so fast anyway that when you did that, I was like, wow, I don't have to really worry about this. That's why you live so long for that fight, because I actually forgot to DPS you because I was so worried about keeping myself up. Then I was like, oh, wait, he can't hit me. But, yeah.
Well, speaking of suck, that would be my paladin in X10 last week.
You didn't do that bad.
Maybe not. I felt like I did pretty terrible, though. My heals are crap, and I have crappy gear, so I was pretty much resigned to the fact that you and our other healer were pretty much going to carry the action, and I was just kind of a spot heal as I could.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you did the best you could. I mean, it's one time I'm actually better than
best I
something.
Could. Well, that's true. But also, I guess we finished up. This is our last week of Nax before we're going to fully transition into Ulduar fully, which is good.
Word, can't wait. That's awesome.
So glad to see that. We'll hopefully be clearing more and more of it, so we'll have more and more current content to talk about until they release the next patch. So we'll officially be behind again.
Yeah.
But I was thinking today, I was doing all my dailies, and the thought came in my head, why am I still doing the cooking daily? I don't need any recipes. I don't need any of the spices. It's only 10 gold quests, so I don't know why I'm doing it anymore. I think I had figured it up at one point, and I've also put 100 of the spice into the bank, and I have, I think, 68 on me. That's like 1,000 spice. I'll never in a million use that much for, so I don't know why I'm still doing it. I think it's just repetition, but screw you, cooking daily.
Word. Better than me. I've never done a cooking daily ever. Never done a fishing daily. I don't even have fishing or cooking. Right now with this character is the highest my fishing and cooking has ever been, and they're 100 or something like that. Cooking's not even that high. Cooking's like 75.
Awesome.
But, yeah.
What did you have going this week?
I want to go on a little bit of an early rant.
Sweet.
I've been going back. I had mining at 101 because when I was leveling, I was in such a rush to level that I would actually stop and go and try to mine the area for, I don't know, a couple minutes every time I went out to party or just the quest. And you just can't keep up. Blizzard, if they're going to make the leveling up process so fast, they should really take a look at professions, like especially the gathering professions, because it's so hard to go back now and do, even though with the epic mount, there's, oh my god, it's just a pain in the ass. I just want to shoot myself in the face just at the thought of going out and trying to level mining or whatever. I mean, they have practice dummies and shit. They should be able to have like a practice P piece of ore.
A practice rock for you to swell away on.
You just hit, like, right-click on it and just go for, like, an hour or something. Or you should just be able to buy it. I mean, who cares? It's mining. I will say I'm making a lot of money because the ore, at least on our server, Mithril is selling for, like, 30 gold, and the Serenite is selling for maybe 15 gold. So I'm making double what I would be making, but it's still, I feel very unproductive. But I just think they – and look at the rest of the professions, though. Tailoring used to be awesome. I mean, you make the Frozen Shadow Weave set. It was pretty friggin' good. And now you could waste the time to build that stuff because there's some decent gear in there, but you're just stuff you're going to replace in no time anyway. So take a look at professions, Blizzard. It's time to revamp them like you're doing with the leveling because it sucks. And I hate it. Other than that, you know, the discipline stuff, I love discipline. It's friggin' fantastic. It's so much more fun. It's not totally different from Holy, but just run around shielding everybody. I don't know. I like it. The game, I think it's also, as much as I'm critical of Blizzard, I think the new model, and I know some elitists don't like, oh, well, these scrubs can be like bleeding edge raiders now, but it's added like a whole nother level to the raiding experience. I mean, we did Nax and we cruised through that. Then there's OS and VOA that I pugged that with part of the guild this week, which was awesome. And now we're doing Old War. I mean, there's so much to do now. Instead of like back before Zul'aman was in the game, we had Karazhan, and then that's as pretty much as far as we went. But I think it's also the discipline. I love it so much just because I'm also doing a lot of new raids right now. So
discipline, good, unless you're getting beaten up by a Death Knight.
Fuck you. you friggin' destroyed me. But it's like I said, I just want to see how long I could live, and if I live for more than 5 seconds, then you suck. And I don't think I ever did. But anyway, that was our week. Let's go into Azeroth news tonight.
It's Azeroth News Tonight. And now your hosts, Jagan Draken.
So last week we talked about the goblins and worgens potentially being the new race simply because somebody found their Halloween mask. Well, guess what? This week we found the Vericle and the Ogre. So I guess we're going to have four new classes. What do you think?
Yeah, Blizzard just cast misdirection. I still think that they're bringing in new races. Maybe they're not the goblins and the worgen. I don't know what they're going to be. But this is definitely just an attempt that it seems like, they found that out, so let's just throw something else in there to cool the tide until BlizzCon comes out.
And that's their way. They did that before, right? I can't remember what it was, but they threw something in there, and people data mined it, and they're like, oh! I think it was the last time they added races, because it was they threw something else in there, and then they ended up announcing the Draenei.
Was that the one they were talking about having a Murlocs be a faction?
I think. And then somebody data mined something and were like, oh my god, we're going to be able to be Murlocs. Which, by the way, if that does happen, I'm canceling my subscription right then and there. I'm not going to Stormwind with a bunch of fucking Murlocs. I'm just saying that right now.
So if the Murlocs went to the Horde, would you never play the Horde again? Or would you start playing PvP?
That's a good question. Well, who would we get? We would get something shitty.
We would get leper gnomes.
Yeah, so see, no, I just canceled my account. The hell with that. That's dumb. But so it does bring up the question, like, okay, now they're just trying to throw everybody off track. Well, if they do release classes because of the thing we saw from the beta forum, or not, I keep saying classes, it's races, goddammit. If they release new races, what are they going to be? Because a lot of people say that the worgen is a stretch. Goblin is possible. But at the same time, they're so down the middle that it would kind of not make sense. Like, you would almost have to have some big quest line where you break away from your neutral ways and either go one way or the other. I don't really see the Vericle or Ogre being possibilities either.
I think the Ogre is probably the most fitting to be on the Horde side, just because the goblins have such a neutral history so far in WoW that the ogres make sense. just from the fact that they've been on the Horde side for quite a long time. But out of the four, not one of them seems to have any ties to the Alliance.
Exactly.
The Worgen does a little bit, just in the fact that they rolled around with, it's still a stretch, like we said.
Well, the storyline I heard was to be that, and if we had our, if he's even listening, we were supposed to have a lore master join us and talk about stuff, but that's a big fail. So now we have to make shift and try to do it ourselves, and we don't know shit about it. But thanks, Dash. but no, what I heard was like with the whole Gilneas thing, they're all human or whatever, and then a spell gets cast and or whatever happens, and then they become the Worgen. So the Worgen are actually the people from Gilneas. So that's how they would tie it, because they would be evil or dirty or whatever, and then go inside and be like, no, we want to be clean and pure again, but we're still Worgen.
That's fine. Do we get a spit on them and throw rotten banana peels when they walk through Stormwind?
No kidding. But yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here trying to think. The only class that I can think of, or the only race that I can think of is I really want to be the Pandaren. I know it's not going to happen because, we pissed off China. It's a Chinese symbol and we dressed it like a Japanese. QQ more, noob.
Yeah, the Pandaren are awesome. Back in Warcraft 3 days, they were badass.
The only big problem with that is they have their own classes, don't they? So it'd be like completely new. I mean, you see a Pandaren. I think somebody said something about like they could be like a shaman or something, and even that would be a huge stretch. But like a warrior and all that, they have their own like monk type classes.
Yeah, you'd like to see them have the drunken master. That would be your class.
Word, and then all of China would rebel and start a holy war, and they'd come over here and kill us.
World War IV started by World of Warcraft.
Oh, you sons of bitches. But yeah, so I don't know what they're going to actually add, if anything. I think these are just masks, but like I said, from what we talked about last week, the whole list from the beta forums, who knows? This is what they're. It looks like they're going to be something, at least races, because they've kind of balked at the idea of another hero class, and there's been zero word or leaked out about a new hero class, so sadly.
I still think there's one coming. I definitely think it's going to be some sort of healing hero class just to get more healers in the game, because that was the whole reason bringing Death Knights, so that they could have another tank class. I definitely think they need to have another healing class.
It'd be awesome. I guess we'll find out. But moving back to a little bit closer down the road, 3.2, they have announced they will not be removing the Drakes. So we all thought, okay, they're going to tell us that they're going to remove the Drakes, and that'll give us our 30-day warning that they promised. And so we'll know 30 days before when the patch is coming out. Well, this week, we got the second piece of the patch, which, by the way, did that go any faster for you this week?
No, man. I'm still stuck at 7% right now.
That's 7%. Hilarious. Because you told me that, so I went and checked mine, and I'd already had it. So I've got both pieces. It's like 200 and some megs and then 300 and some megs. So it's like 500 megs sitting there waiting.
So it ran all day today. I'm at 7%.
You suck.
I guess I won't be playing. I'll still be downloading the patch.
Well, sweet. I might be a little better than you then.
Well, that would go that far.
So anyway, yeah, they're not going to remove the Drakes for the foreseeable future. So not only are the Drakes going to remain in the game, but we won't know when 3.2 is hitting until they just drop it in our lap, which we could go on and on about speculating that, but we've done that to death. So let's just go ahead and move on to the Q&As for this week, which I didn't read, so take it away, Dre.
Okay, so this week's was the Hunters, and they also released another part 2 for the Warriors and Druids. Sorry, Warriors, I'm not going to give you the next piece just because there was nothing in there worth even discussing. It was kind of a next swing, a mechanic, but nothing really interesting there, which also is the same for Igby. I'm willing to admit that it's possible that because I don't play a hunter and I've played one to level 30, that maybe something was in there that was earth-shattering that I couldn't get out of it. But I did pull out two questions like I've done every other class, so we'll see. But this it kind of leads me to what we'll go into a little bit later on, that they're sort of passing over what they the Q&A, like they're tired of it. But anyway, the first question I pulled out was, are there any plans to increase the benefit hunters gain from haste? And Ghost Caller said there's two answers to this question. The more general one, which applies to all classes, is that we want haste to be a useful stat. Rogues, warriors, and some casters like it currently and need to get it there for everyone. As I've said in several Q&As, some stats have just fallen away from some specs, even though they routinely appear on your gear. Sometimes this happens because talents prop up other stats so much, and instead of more attractive, they feel inferior, and ones that aren't supported go from being suboptimal to junk. We need the ability to put a variety of stats on your gear. We don't want there to be an uber stat for everyone that trumps everything else, which that's kind of always been the case. To point at which you don't even look at other stats, gear is supposed to be a choice. I'll say that again, that I think the online community sometimes focuses too much on a best-in-slot mentality to the extent at which they consider everything else except those best-in-slot items to be worth skipping over. Remember, if it improves your DPS, it's an upgrade, even if another item would improve it a lot more. That sounds so obvious, but I think there's a tendency for some players to stop thinking that way. I disagree with that. I think a lot of the theory crafting tends to push people one way, that best-in-slot items are actually best-in-slot, and I don't think anyone's going to bypass an upgrade. I think everyone knows what their best-in-slot is, but if something's better, they're going to take it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's because we're, you know, slightly less hardcore than everyone else, but if I see something that's better for me, I'm going to take it because it's going to improve me no matter what.
Exactly. I mean, it's going to improve you. It's going to improve the raid and everything else. I mean, if you can bump your numbers any little bit, like you said, it's an upgrade. So, yeah, you want the best in slot, but you'll do with something that's not best in slot until you get the best in slot. But this, for me, goes back to the professions blowing ass more, because if you had more options or you could split it back up, like if you could craft some gear that make it hellaciously hard to craft, but that's another option and like another version of it or something. But it's to the point now where everybody, it's just tier gear. Oh, that's my tier gear. I want that. And I don't know. It's just a big pain in the ass. And ugh, it's like Blizzard's chasing their own damn tail now.
Yeah. Well, the next question I picked out was as a follow-up to the previous question, which is not the one I just read. Do we have plans to make it easier for the hunter to bring a dead pet back to life, such as reducing the cast time of the base ability? Ghost Caller said, we talk about this a lot, but the trade-off would be a much more fragile pet. In some ways, we think a system might work better where the pets were easy to kill, especially in PvP, but then a hunter or warlock could bring them back, say, every 30 seconds or so without a huge loss to personal DPS. But in that situation, we would nerf pet health quite a bit so that these pets would crumble quickly when focused. The Death Knight, especially an unglyph ghoul, works a little bit more like this currently. They have like 12k health without a glyph, but to make this change, we'd have to solve the PvE pet giving mechanics referenced above. To be clear, this is a hypothetical different model than I've been talking about in the rest of this Q&A. I don't want to confuse anyone by saying pets should both be hard to kill and hard to res, and easy to kill and easy to res. I could see where they'd want to make it either way, where they're either hard to kill and hard to bring back, or easy to kill and easy to bring back. I'd like to see the latter more than likely, that they can summon their pets on a whim, because once that pet does die, it's going to be more of a pain in the ass to get them back, and it seems more detrimental to actually have it die in that case. So,
well, they're talking PvE, though. I mean, if your pet's easy to kill, it's not, like, I'm sure PvP, you don't worry about the pet, you just go for the hunter. But still, having easy to kill, that's extra DPS that a rogue could just turn around and smack in the face a couple of times and be done with. You know what I mean?
It depends. A lot of times in arenas I was in, if the hunter sticks their pet on your healer, it's really going to screw them up with the interrupts, which I guess are not as bad as they were when I was in the arenas. But either way, you definitely, there's times where you want to focus down that pet. Warlocks, you want to get their pet out of the way, stuff like that. So when I played the Warlock, I would wish there was more times that I could just bring the pet out that easy. So I honestly would think it would be a better change to have them die easier but be brought back easier.
Well, I don't know.
But either way, I just pulled that out because it was interesting. But so I was going to move on to the Druids part two. Players felt we were not giving much attention to balance and feral Druid PvP concerns when the arena's success is very limited. Can you give us a more definitive answer on how we feel these specs are in PvP? We wish there were more teams with feral and balanced Druids on them. We wish we saw more feral and balanced Gladiators, but in short, we think they're underperforming. The reason we haven't showered these two specs with PvP buffs is because A, Druids have a great PvP spec they can use, while Hunters and perhaps Warlocks and Shaman have none. A lot of the specs that are underperforming are doing so because they don't have the ability to chain CC or multiple escape mechanisms. But I mean, the Druid shifts out of pretty much everything, so don't get that one. We don't want to give a lot of those to every class. We'd rather change the PvP environment to where those aren't all necessary. We also want to de-emphasize the 2v2 bracket and emphasize Battlegrounds a lot more, so the entire PvP experience doesn't come down to a synergy where you have what you have with other classes. And again, it's not necessary that their abilities don't cut it. It's that when you're putting the other team, a mage or a rogue might be more attractive. This is kind of the running theme for all of these Q&As, that they just can't find a balance. And again, we're going to go into this more, but it just seems more and more like Blizzard saying, we can't figure it out. There's a solution out there, but we don't know what it is yet.
The solution is simple. The solution is you take all the people who want to do arenas, copy their character over to another server that has arena rules, and just let them play arenas. Because arenas are now not even screwing just PvE, they're screwing Battlegrounds as well, because people just go in there and farm honor and whatever, and you know they're not actually in there to win the battleground. They need to change Battlegrounds so you get honor based on kills and or based on wins rather than kills. And they need to get rid of the arena balancing. And so, I mean, the 2v2, that is hard as hell to balance, because there should be like a positive to every negative. There should be some class that can just what the fuck pwn you. And if they're trying to balance for 2v2, that's just stupid. I mean, that's just fail written all over it.
Well, I guess they're sort of admitting that now.
Dumbasses.
But again, and I'm going to skip over our next topic here and kind of throw these together. Ghostcrawler also did throw out his comments on the design of the game, which is included with the raid homogenization. I don't have down the question that it was asked, but it was something along the lines of, do you think that the next step is to just make every class the same? If you're going to DPS, then you do DPS the same as everyone else. And tank, same way, healer, same way. But anyway, Ghost Caller said, we don't think that's true. Some of you guys seem to always head for a purity of game design where things would look very neat in a table or plotted on a graph. But we're not trying to design where every possible raid comp is equally viable. We don't need to support a design where a raid of 8 mages and 2 DPS warriors is as effective as a raid with 10 holy paladins. All we need to accomplish is give our groups enough flexibility to be able to bring the players they want while still getting all the big buffs and enough of the smaller buffs. We've done that. In the Sunwell days, the rosters of most progression-oriented raiding guilds, basically the ones trying today's equivalent of hard modes, were very similar. Now they're quite diverse. We don't have 30 specs represented yet, but we have 4 tanks, 5 healers, and at least 1 spec of every class. That's more class diversity in raiding than WoW has ever had before. If you look at the guilds doing hard modes, they pretty much different rosters these days, and that's more true of the normal modes. If you're new to raiding in WoW, that's awesome, because a lot of people are, and we made a big effort in Lich King to make that happen. But to talk to the groups that did Sunwell and the frustration they had in trying to build their raids, the first thing these guys said to us when they heard about new class was, there's no room in my raid to take any. If you're looking for that one thing that's going to get you a raid spot, I'd shoot for reputation that you know what the hell you're doing, and some good friends. So again, and to wrap us all this stuff up, there, Blizzard really does, at least in my opinion, seem to not know where to go to make everyone happy. And I know this has kind of been, it's always been an issue. If you have more than 2 people playing a game, one of them is not going to be happy. So they don't know, but they've also stabbed themselves in the foot, because you're trying to make every different spec DPS viable or PvP viable, and everyone wants to be able to DPS, everyone wants to be able to do PvP, everyone wants to be able to do everything, and you're never going to make the game so that everyone can do that. I really think that they should have a PvP tree so you know what you're getting when you get on that tree and know what to expect. And the hybrids, you know, it sucks to say, and I like to, you know, for all the Moonkins and the Feral Druids and the Tree Druids are in this specific example, that one of you is like, well, you're not going to be PvE viable anymore. I think that's almost a necessity because there's no way you're ever going to get 30 different specs to all equal out.
No, it's absolutely impossible, and that's been one of my bitchings, as we all know, is that you can't balance all that, and then you got other games that are much smaller class-wise, but the classes are so vastly different that they're all entertaining in their own special way, that they're all not just, oh, more of the same. Like, there's a DPS class, but then there's a buff class, but then there's a tank class, and then there's a friggin' CC class, and they all have their own roles that you need, but you don't need them so much that it'll make or break a raid. It'll just make this part easier, that part easier, but it's all doable. And Blizzard, they went down a bad road, and the more and more PvP they added to the game, the tighter the noose got around their neck, and now it just seems like they're standing there with their hands up, like, we don't know what you want. But I agree with you that the Q&As, because I didn't read them, because this is exactly why, as they've gone on over the weeks and you've reported, it just gets to the point where it sounds like they're just so frustrated they don't want to answer the questions anymore. They're just like, we don't know. I'm sorry, we don't know. And it almost seems to be like they're shutting down a little bit. Like, I know they have obviously big announcements for BlizzCon and all that, but I think BlizzCon is going to be very interesting this year because they could really shake WoW up and a lot of things could change.
I almost think they have to at this point. I think, especially in the past couple Q&As, I mean, I haven't pulled those questions out for this very specific reason that they haven't said anything, but the past few, they've really just have not had a lot of meat to them.
Nope.
They don't know what to say. A lot of times they've just said, okay, well, maybe we'll answer that at BlizzCon, or it's been a lot of, well, look how many classes we have to balance, and we're getting closer. Look how much worse it was before.
And as a player, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear, well, look what we're trying to do. It's hard, guys. Just give us time and patience, and just give us the space, man. I don't want to hear that. This is your bed that you made. Now, friggin' shape it up, because I'm not saying it worked perfect back in the day. I mean, I like the direction of raiding and the way they're, even though it's not popular apparently with the elitists, of changing the badge system to get more people into raiding. But it just seems as good as the game is getting, it's going downhill at the same time.
And you have to wonder if this is sort of tying into them shifting some of their talent away for this new MMO, if the direction they're initially trying to go, the people who are doing it now aren't capable of getting that same path.
Well, I think basically it started as it's an MMO, and when 4 years, 5 years ago when it came out, MMOs, they were very sectioned off. The people who played were 250,000 people, were a hell of a lot of people, and they were all, I don't want to say elitist, but somewhat hardcore. They cared. They understood that if we don't have this class, we can't go. And then you would have guilds who would get together and meet each other and everything, and then re-roll, and you know, so they had all their bases covered. And with WoW, they've brought so many casual people in, and so many people that really, okay, it's going to sound harsh, I guess, but these people 5 years ago would have no business raiding or doing the in-game content. They just wouldn't, because that's not the mentality that was supported. And now with WoW, they're trying to do so much that maybe everybody did move on and these guys can't handle it. I would think that they would be able to handle it, but I don't know. It almost seems like there's going to be just a bomb dropped on WoW, and I'd personally like to see it. I mean, I don't want to see everything get tore apart and lose half the player base. I mean, we already lost China for how God knows how long, and now everybody's like, oh, the numbers are dropping. Well, you got half the population not even being able to connect to the game, so.
Well, that wasn't in the notes, but they did say that the China's coming back. They're having that closed beta for a week, but as soon as it gets approved by the government, the Chinese people will be back.
And there was something where it said it was going to be better. Like the new contract or whatever has to be approved by the government, and the government likes how it's shaping out this time better than it was with the 9 or so. I don't know. Crazy ass shit. But, I mean, if you go back to, I don't think they're going to split PvP and PvE servers and have, like, vast differences. Vesticular. I don't think they'll have vast differences or anything. I think it'll be kind of the same. But even, like, the bomb I'm talking about of going back and just redoing all of Azeroth. Make the leveling up process even faster and make it, like, right now, you can skip zones. Not, like, quests, not chains, but zones. So take and compress everything. Like, if you start in Stormwind, you can be level 50 in Stranglethorn or something. And then take all those extra zones and, like, oh, they were raided and taken over by friggin' level 89 monsters and all this other crap. And drive people back down there. Because in my opinion, that's what's wrong with Dalaran. You look at how big it is compared to how big Shat was. Shat was a lot bigger. So Dalaran it's a lot tighter. There's more more high-res textures on the models. And the players are jammed closer together. And that's where all the lag's coming from. So, you know, spread them out, but still keep them in Azeroth to keep, like, that populated feeling. But just make big changes. Don't lose anybody, though. I guess it's harder. Easier said than done.
That's kind of why I feel the rumor that went around, which is definitely not possible, where a few people said that they're going to blow up the world and everyone had... they would have to start over at 55 if they decided to make new characters. That would be kind of the kind of idea that would just be incredible to comprehend. I mean, obviously it can't happen for a number of reasons, but how awesome would it be for you to start a new character at 55, no matter what class you were picking, and it would be a brand new game at that point.
It would be, but at the same time, you look at, like, a brand new player coming off the street and picking up the Death Knight at 55. That would be so incredibly confusing and just, oh my god, what I got all these talent points and I don't know where to put them. And I think the leveling up process is a necessary thing. Maybe not for alts, but that'd be, like, another story. Because, I mean, people did all right with the Death Knight, I guess. I mean, there's a lot of morons out there, but it's a new class. It's just a new hunter. But you take and let everybody level up like normal and get all their spells one at a time. Just make it, like, I don't know, it takes how long to get to 160 back in the day? Like, 6 months average, I think. Make it, like, a month. Within a month, you can be in whatever Gilneas or whatever the next... you know, just speed through 1 through 80. And do it all hellaciously quick. But then just compress everything. You know? That way you wouldn't have to blow up the world. But... So it sucks you got to take a month to level up for the first time if you're a new player. There's new players coming in every day, but still.
I'm with you. I just, like I said, there's no way that like it could happen for that reason, one of the reasons. I just screw the new players. I'm thinking, you know, purely selfishly. To get a level 55 priest instead of having a level 1 would be pretty awesome for me, but it couldn't happen. That's the kind of, you know, groundbreaking new concept. That's what I'm talking about.
But that's like, what's his face? I don't know. The one interview we read where he said that he thinks that at the end of every MMO cycle, people are going to go to a free to play model. I could see Blizzard doing that earlier. Think about it. You're still leveling up. They still want you to go through all the levels. But for a small fee of, you know, 50 cents or a dollar, you can buy this magic potion that lets you have 300% XP gain for monsters and quest rewards and blah, blah, blah. And then you could power through it, but you still have to go through the whole... I mean, even if you can level, say, 44 to 46 in one night, I mean... you probably do that now, but I'm saying on like a casual 2 or 3 hour play session. If you could do that in one night, you would power through everything in those first 60 or 70 levels wouldn't feel that bad anyway. But you can make that small transaction and make it even quicker, but you still have to learn the class.
Or even maybe making the expand or the vanilla WoW the free to play, and then as you got through those levels, pay for the expansion and start paying then.
Yeah, I mean that could work. I mean, we've been playing the DDO beta. We got in there tonight for the first time together and played. It's different. I think their free to play is going to work a lot different than something like a WoW would. I don't think WoW can do what DDO is doing, because DDO is kind of like, okay, you want to do this set of quests, you go buy this book at the store. Well, in DDO, or well, that's DD pen and paper. At DDO, it's the same sort of mentality where you go and buy like an adventure pack. WoW won't be able to do that. They're not going to have, okay, you want to go do this zone, go buy it. People aren't going to buy that. I'm not going to buy that. I don't think it'll be the downfall of the game if they do to go to a free-to-play. They just got to do stuff like that to make your leveling experience quicker. Like, okay, right now you can change your character's name. We don't have to just stop at that. You can buy XP buffs. You can buy, what are some other examples? You can buy a healing potion that is like a level 55 healing potion. You can use it like level 35, so it's a full heal. You know, just dumb little shit. Well, no, that was a bad example, because I could see where that could go bad.
The new races.
I don't like that, though. I don't want to buy new races. I don't like that in DDO. I don't like it. I mean, it is more content that you're buying, but you're taking content that starts at the beginning of the game and excluding it from everybody.
That's true. That's true.
But I don't know. So we'll see where that goes. I don't know.
Stuff to come out in BlizzCon. Hopefully there's some earth-shattering news to come out of BlizzCon.
It is weird because, I mean, they do it every year, but Blizzard is just magic. They have a way to make BlizzCon so damn important.
And by the way, if you want to send us tickets, I apparently didn't win the Razor tickets, so if you want to send us tickets, please do.
Yes, pug@pugcast.com. Send us your emails now. The last little bit of news that we have, moving on, because we're rambling about a bunch of nothing, it feels like. They have announced that the Crusaders Coliseum, you will have to progress your way through it. So that means you'll have to clear the normal mode before you go to the heroic mode on both 10 and 25. So I guess this is Blizzard's way of saying link achievement, please.
Right. For all those pugs that make you link their achievement before you can go in their pug, which is going to suck when you get in. But for all the people that got carried through an instance and were able to link it, now Blizzard's saying you have to do the same thing. It does make sense. You honestly should probably have cleared the normal mode before you try the heroic version. It just makes sense, but I don't think this is altogether unexpected.
I still think, like we were talking last week, it's like, excuse me, Mr. Quest Giver, you have me a quest to go in here and fight in this arena type thing. You've got them chained outside, so why don't you just, like, shut up, kill them, and give me the goddamn loot?
Or just have a crew of rogues pickpocket all the gear for you.
Like, oh, sweet, we're going to do a 25-man Crusaders Coliseum. Oh, wait, no, we don't need to do that. Thanks, rogues.
No, I have to go level my rogue for that.
Oh, damn it. Anyway, that'll take us to the word outside Warcraft.
The world outside Warcraft. Well, sort of. I mean, it still has to do with Warcraft, but just not in game.
So the big word outside of the actual game is that we're going to have the game on the screen. Sam Raimi is going to direct the WoW movie. They talked about this, 4 or 5 years ago?
This sort of starting to get into Warcraft 3 timelines, where it's supposed to come out 3 different times now.
So yeah, it's back on, but this time they've linked big name Sam Raimi to it. If I'm even saying that right, I think it's how you say his name. But he's from Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3. He was an executive producer on Xena and Hercules, which, yeah, I watched them. But God, they were horrible. Somewhere I saw that it's going to be live action. And if that's true, if anybody's listening and don't know what that means there's going to be real humans running around on screen, real actors. And I guess a big dude dressed in green.
Yeah, like I said in our pre-show, we're going to have a bunch of dudes painted up green. No, I'm Thrall. Yeah, you're not. That's a really bad concept. It definitely needs to be CG.
That's it, exactly. Like the intros to the games, those are so beautiful and just awesome. They just need to use that and just go with that. It would take 5 or 6 years probably to make a movie, but just do it. God damn it. Don't make a live action. I mean, yeah, we got the Spider-Man and the fucking Batman and all that, but come on. We don't need a WoW with orcs and trolls and gnomes. How the hell are you going to have gnomes? You can just Oompa Loompas run around? I'm sorry. That'll suck. It'll be cheesy as hell.
Yeah, it really, that doesn't lend itself to Blizzard's standard for entertainment value.
No, I mean, then again, you look at Lord of the Rings and they had the orcs, and those orcs looked pretty badass. Like, they were, I guess, kind of scary. But I just think the orcs in Warcraft are so much more fine-tuned and detailed, and they each have their own personality. They're not just mindless barbarians that just all grumble or whatever. I don't know.
At this point, also, you have to factor in that Lord of the Rings was based off novels. We actually have a history of cartoon animation for the history of Warcraft, so people already have a concept of what the orcs and trolls and the tauren should look like. So why would, if they can't deliver a similar effect, which would be damn hard to do, why would you want to even go down that route?
Exactly. But I don't know. And I don't know how reliable this is. I found it. I didn't see this anywhere else on any of the other movie sites. But AceShowbiz.com says four pretty big things. Number one, it'll be from the Alliance perspective, obviously, because it'd be a lot cheaper to dress people up in armor than it will be to dress Thrall up every day. It'll take place 1 year before WoW. So WoW was what, 4 years after Warcraft 3?
I think it was 5 years.
5 years, so yeah. So it'd be a little bit on the tail end of that building up to WoW. It'll aim for a PG-13 rating, which that's expected, I guess. I wouldn't expect it to be R-rated. That would be kind of dumb. But it'll, don't expect anything before 2011, which, yeah, I guess. I didn't think about that, but it's like, wow, you announced it how many years ago, and now you're announcing it again this past week, and we still have 2 years to wait.
I didn't like that entire sentence, to be honest with you.
You don't like it to be from the Alliance?
I don't know. The Alliance perspective on things is just, it seems kind of done. Like the Horde side of things, there's a lot more that you could put up on the screen, I think.
I think it'd be a lot better. I think, take it from the Scourge point of view, it'd be fucking fantastic.
Of course you would think that. But I guess moving on from there, we have Blizzard announcing that the Authenticator is going to be on more mobile devices. And my personal gripe is that my particular BlackBerry model does not support the Authenticator, so I'm still screwed. Blizzard.
This is Blizzard's way of saying, all right, we pissed everybody off with the iPhone, but that was just a test. Now we're going to give the Authenticator to all these other shitty phones, and we're not even going to give one to Dre's shittier phone.
And even worse than that, they're going to charge. So, well, hooray, you pay for an iPhone, here's your free app. But if you don't have the iPhone, make you pay us a dollar.
Well, we'll wait until the armory comes to all these phones, because if you look at the Authenticator on all these other phones, it kind of looks like poo. So the armory is really going to look like ass.
Yeah. So Battle.net Mobile Authenticator, an optional security tool to help unauthorized Battle.net account access, will be available in a wide range, and by wide range they mean any phone that I don't have, for carriers in the United States and Europe. And again, you have to go to mobile.blizzard.com to buy it, and basically if you don't have texting, you're going to get charged for texting too, because it texts you and then you put in the code and then it sends you the app. So it's definitely not as. You should go get an iPhone.
Exactly. I cannot wait. We should start a timer. It's going to be 3 weeks, I think, until I can get out of shitty Verizon and get mine.
That's true. So it's going to be 3 weeks until I start hating you officially.
Yes.
Because I'm still locked in until next May.
Slash dance. Do-do-do-do-do. Anyway, you use those Blizzard authenticators to time to your Battle.net accounts. There's been a lot of problems with the authentication servers this week, and I haven't noticed any of it because my account's tied to a Battle.net account. My wife seems like she hasn't been – well, she hasn't been home lately in the last few days. She's been working and had some other stuff going on. So I really haven't seen anything because she's not on a Battle.net account, but it's a lot of login issues just with accounts that aren't merged to Battle.net. So this is almost like – conspiracy theory, Blizzard saying, hey, you should probably use a Battle.net account, jackass.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's almost cut and dry. It's almost not even trying to hide anything. It used to be initially the Battle.net accounts were the ones having issues, but more and more it's just the regular accounts. And then what Blizzard says is, oh, we're aware there's an issue and we're working on it, but hey, if you go to Battle.net, those people are able to log in and fine, so just go merge your account.
Yeah, it works great.
Yeah, there's definitely a benefit to doing it. If you haven't done it at this point, I fully recommend you do. If nothing else, just for me, having multiple Blizzard products, being able to register your software up there and being able to download them whenever you want for whichever platform you want, that in itself is worth it.
Well, yeah, and it's just a peace of mind if you want to tie the authenticator to it. You're just more protected that way.
I mean, so you can go click on all those wicked chick on the forums and not care because they can hack your account.
Hell yeah.
Got to get this sex leg.
Exactly. Activision and Blizzard, they have kind of sold out a little bit, though. They're going to be selling gold. That's right. They're going to be selling 24-karat plated gold, silver, and copper to mimic the in-game gold. And this is what I'm talking about. It's like the little coins you see on TV, the Twin Tower commemorative, or you know, the Sacagawea something commemorative coin. This is what they are. They look a little bit bigger, and there's Horde and Alliance versions. But you'll have your own in-game gold. This is what the game. This is what the in-game gold technically will look like.
So this is like if Parker Brothers started selling Monopoly money, right? Is
exactly.
It the same thing?
Same exact thing. But
that's ridiculous. If you had nothing else to spend your money on, go to podcast.com and donate to our show.
Exactly.
If you're going to waste money buying in-game gold, I'll go to the store and I'll go buy Monopoly money. I will mail it to you.
Exactly. Which, you know, I don't want to steal your segment, but I'll totally buy this 24-karat gold and pay you back.
Well, it might be the only way I get paid back.
All right, we'll get to that later. The last little bit of the word outside of Warcraft is there was a man who I'm not even going to name because he's the lowest of the low.
Yeah, this is terrible.
He's 28 years old, and he lived in Alabama. He drove up to Washington State to meet a 14-year-old girl that he met playing WoW. He gave her alcohol prescription pills and proceeded to have sexual relations with her for 6 days before being caught at some park up in Southeast Washington. He was sentenced to 9 years in prison. So to all you parents out there, I hear a lot of people letting their kids play, and that's awesome. I've got a 9-year-old and I've heard of people letting younger kids play. I don't know, I just don't do it. But this is, you know, these sick fucks are everywhere, so be even more careful.
So here's hoping that he is not given alcohol, but he is given prescription pills, and some guy in his cell is having their way with him for 6 days in a row.
Yeah, but he's getting prescription pills to be kept awake.
So yeah, exactly.
He's feeling all that ass rapage.
Hopefully. God willing.
Talking of ass rapage, that'll take us to the call to arms.
Well, that's a nice segue. Good job.
A call to arms. Boss fights explained by Draven.
Okay, so this week's Call to Arms is going to be Kolagarn, which happens to be the boss that we got up to, and we're going to attempt again on Sunday. So everyone in negative zero needs... Kolagarn has 3.6 million health, and he has two arms with 544,000 health. His main abilities is going to be an overhead smash, which is an instant attack that gives a debuff to the tank, which decreases their armor by 20% for 6 seconds, and also interrupts casting for 8 seconds for any target in melee range, but hopefully there's no casters in melee range. His raid wiping ability is Petrifying Breath. It's cast when there's no aggro target within his melee range, and it's a 4-second channel to cast that causes 14 to 15,000 nature damage per second. Then he has his eye beams, which shoots a beam out of his eyes towards a raid, dealing about 3,000 nature damage to a player within 3 yards of it. Then his two arms both have separate abilities. His left arm, which would be his right arm, has a shockwave, which sweeps the entire raid, dealing 8 or 9,000 nature damage. His right arm, which would be the raid's left arm, has a grip where he pulls in random players and stuns them for 3,000 damage per second until the player is dead or until the arm takes 150,000 damage. Basically, the way this is going to work is you're going to have the main tank and the melee run in and just stand on top of him. There's a sweet spot where the melee can stand, so you can hit his arm and his body without really having to move at all. And then you're going to have the ranged people stand out horizontally. You can use the floor tiles as a spacing mechanism, really. You want to kind of line up horizontally so that no one is behind another person, and I'll get to that in a second. Basically, what you're going to do is have all the DPS start out on the right arm until you kill it. And all the while, he's going to pick people up and smash them in his hand and do his shockwave and target the ranged people with eye beams. And if you get targeted, you're going to need to run backwards out of the room. I think it chases you for about 10 seconds, so it's slower than your run speed. So just take off running straight away. Don't finish your cast or anything like that. And don't run through other people. Just kind of run straight back out of the room. And all that while, until you get the arm down, he's going to be doing everything. As soon as you kill that arm, there's going to be a bunch of elemental adds that spawn and have the off-tank pick them up, and the ranged people DPS those adds down. Every time you kill an arm, it's going to do 15% damage to Kolagarn. So you don't waste any time by DPSing those arms. You just save the raid from having to deal with those abilities. So there's an alternate strategy where you just kill the arms alternating back and forth until you kill them just by default. But in 10 man at least, you just kind of deal with the left arm and its shockwave. There's not really too much of a reason other than achievement getting to kill that other arm. But really, that's the whole fight. As soon as the arm is killed, all the melee DPS switches to his body. When the arm respawns, you switch back to the arm and start wailing on the arm. It's not too much to the fight, but we seem to have a lot of problems with the ranged people and the high beams. But when you get it all down, it's a pretty simple fight. So good luck to everyone out there and us on Sunday, and kill Cold Arm. And that's this week's Cold Arms.
Thank you, Dre, and hopefully, yeah, we'll definitely take him down. The dude is huge. It's an awesome fight. We did it 25-man, and I actually saw the end and how he falls back and his body becomes like the bridge to get to the backside of the room. That was pretty neat.
Yeah, so any raid leaders out there, if you're planning to take people into Ulduar and you can get down XT002, just pick some random person and tell them to run up to the chasm there. And just let the hilarity ensue. We didn't do it, but I've read so many accounts where people have just run up unawares and seen a huge boss and started the fight just out of nowhere. So do that and let us know how it goes, because I think that's pretty funny.
All right, well, let's move on to our email.
You've got mail, motherfucker.
Our email this week? Yeah, I got none.
Yeah, you can't even count on spam these days. I had a pretty good run there with the spam. The only thing I got was an opt-in to pick up a $100 Starbucks gift card. I'm not going to read it because there's just kind of a embedded picture file with a link to a site that you probably don't want to go to and requires you to purchase more than $100 worth of things to get that $100 card. But yeah, so again, I'm pretty sure we gave our emails.
Yeah, I mean, I got another email from Min this week. He emails me every week with like a one-liner. That's probably going to be his thing to go on. He said the mages don't melt faces, Shadow Priests do, which I completely agree with.
I mean, that's true. I can't believe you said that. I was kind of caught unawares when you did say it.
Well, but you're launching fireballs. I mean, you're thinking you could melt faces with fireballs and stuff. So, I don't know. Whatever.
You would think that, but no.
No, it's got to be shadow magic. I'm sorry. The correct answer was shadow.
Well, you're the one that said it. Who are you blaming?
I'm just saying. I didn't realize it was going to cause such an uproar in our community.
Well, I have shadow magic. Do I get to melt faces?
No, fuck you. It's for priests only.
Also, right. For priests only is the repayment segment that we kind of skipped over every other week. So I checked my mail before we started the podcast, and I didn't see any mail in there. So so where are we at?
We're at the point where I start discussing how much real life money you want.
Yeah, you know, I look in every day and I look at my total. I'm like, oh yeah, there's an extra $4,000 on there technically. So if that's not the case, I guess I should, you know, plan otherwise.
No, I just got back up to 1,000, which I know is probably slow, but I've been raiding a shitload. I mean, 5 nights a week, I'm in some sort of a raid, it seems like. So, and sure. I only play for a few hours a night, so it's basically go raid 2 nights and then buy consumables for the next 2 nights after that with the money that I made in the raid, which I do like that Blizzard is allowing. Like, there's so many different ways of making a lot of money. I just can't figure out how to do it, but yeah. Apparently it's – I'm not saying it works, but it seems like they're trying to flood the market with gold to get rid of gold sellers.
Yeah, there's always going to be people that can make obscene amounts of money, but I do feel it's pretty easy to make a good amount. I will say that I'd rather see you healing raids for us than going out and doing dailies. So
Sometimes I just want to go do my dailies and make some gold so I can pay you back so that I can buy shit to level my professions and stuff. But, you know.
Hey, what are you going to do? I did tell you when I loaned it to you that you could pay me back whenever you felt like. So it's just a good segment to have. I feel it's going to be there for a while, so good.
One more reason why Jig is worthless.
Good thing it's not child support. You'd be in jail.
Yeah, that would suck. How did you have my baby anyway? That was a lame joke, and I apologize. All right, if you want to contact us, you can go ahead and send your emails to pug@pugcast.com, or you can email us individually. That's draken@pugcast.com or jag@pugcast.com. You can also visit our website, which is www.pugcast.com, and click on that little forum button that we added this week. It's not really a button. It's just this thing that says forums. Just click on it. And in there, you'll see a couple sections of things we can talk about. But the one I want to point out is good as email. You can drop a post in there, and that'll just be like you sending us email. I don't think anybody will use it because nobody's sending us emails, so it doesn't really matter.
That's true, but maybe it'll be less of a hassle to type in the address as opposed to just typing in a post.
That's what I'm aiming for. Convenience. We are the convenient. We are the handy mart or the thrifty mart of the WoW podcast.
That's true. We're not they're quite the 7-Eleven. The next year down.
We're the Sunoco. Yeah. So if you post in there, that'll be just like emailing us. We'll read it out, talk about it, discuss it.
You can see our whopping 2 posts on the forum so far to make sure it worked.
Yeah. That's. And that took a while. Anyway, you can also follow us on Twitter. We're at /pugcast for the show, /draken and /_jig_. That's pretty much. I don't know. We don't have all that other stuff that these other guys have. Apparently, you can get us on iTunes and leave a feedback. 5 stars will get you a shout out on the show. Apparently we're on Zune as well. If anybody can confirm that, I don't use Zune. I never uploaded our stuff to Zune or put our feed in Zune, but I saw that we got a couple subscriptions from Zune, so that's cool, I guess. For shout
out, Microsoft.
Yeah. For shout outs this week, I just want to give one quick shout out to Eves of the Followers of Bob on Lothar. We were doing the 25-man Old War last night, and yeah, I like discipline. I like it a lot, but I was doing it completely wrong, so she kind of steered me in the right direction, and I really appreciate it.
So did she make you not suck?
Well, no, I still suck, but I suck less, I guess.
Well, that's good. Anything is an improvement, I guess.
Yeah, but that'll take us to the 1 hour mark, so I surprised ourselves again this week.
That's true. It was a pretty slow week. It was really, really slow.
Yeah, and then we'll have to, like, hopefully when BlizzCon hits, we'll have to think about what we can talk about and what we need to cut out.
I'm telling you, when we get to the point where we're cutting out content, that's a good week. That's right now.
That's a very good week. That is an awesome week.
These past couple of weeks have been terrible.
Yeah, but...
I mean, I obviously had to come up with creative content, which, for the record, I haven't written up, but it's been a pretty busy week, so I didn't have time to record it. But it'll be there. It's coming back. I got at least 2 people telling me to keep it, so it'll be coming back.
Yeah, it'll definitely need to be coming back, but we'll keep it, even if it's bi-weekly or monthly, just so it's not such a burden, because I know that's a pain in the ass to put together.
If I could hire some midgets that had different voices instead of me just doing it, that would be okay.
Right on. So that's all I got. Do you have anything else?
No, that's all I had. All
right. Well, I guess thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Yep, thanks for listening, guys.
All right, bitch. Prepare to suck it.
I'm not prepared.
Oh, god damn it. Okay, that was fucking stupid. I hate how when you're dueling, you can fucking heal the other person. That damn fucking Blizzard. Screw you, men.
You could?
Yeah, I healed you. You didn't see that?
I wasn't paying attention.
Well, I don't know. It was penance. It might have been damage, but it wasn't fucking much. I should eat buff food and flask and everything else. I'll still get killed.
I don't see you heal me, dude.
That's what I said. It might have been penance. I agree, man. I agree. Fucking tech knights. God damn it. Well, that's 2-0. Ugh.
Damn, I have a new horse strike record.
When I got a fucking thing. Ready for achievements. So you're gonna fucking destroy me now? Just to make it official?
Yeah. At least you get up 4-1.
Ugh. You killed me in mid penance. You fucking... You're so OP, you beat the fucking penance. You fucked my ass up. Well, it's official. I sucked balls at PvP. Human chick without a shirt on. I wish that was real. Seeing a chick in a robe like that, like all loose. Sorry, I guess that makes me a pervert.
You are.
I am now.
Oh, well, fuck you. So, you forgot one important segment that we discussed bringing in. You were going to open your egg, and I was going to laugh at you when it was aged yolk.
Yeah, so, yeah, I forgot. I logged back in. Here we go. I'm nervous. God damn you fucking tit for fucking hatchling. I've got like 4 of them now. Fuck that goddamn thing. It's either that or yoke every fucking week. God damn it.
What do you expect from Murloc people, dude? That's what you get.
Dude, dude, yeah, but give me at least one of the other pets. What are there, like, three pets you can get?
Well, there's two tick birds.
I'm sorry, you're right. I've got like four of the white tick bird hatchlings. This is just the tick bird hatchling. It's like the ugly fucking pet child. Stupid ass. Oh, I learned a new pet. Let me look how much it is. Character. Pet. Icon is it. Really? It's like fucking brown turd colored. Fuck this shit. I'm like.